This call is now being recorded. If you object, you may disconnect now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joseph. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the 2017 NTUC Elections Meet the Candidate Call on Friday, 20th of October 2017 at 10 UTC. On the call today, we have Asine Tungali, Bruna Santos, David Cake, Pharrell Foley, Fazani Badi, GZ Kabir, Ines Haifeder, Renata Aquino Ribeiro, Shafkat Shabirov, Shadrit Rayamaji, Tapani Teravainen, Wisdom Donko, Zina Brahim Muhammad. On the audio bridge, we have Elsa Saade, and from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Fazani.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. So we are going to start this Meet the Candidate session, and what we are going to do, we are going to read out the questions and give the candidates a little bit of time to tell us about themselves and give us a brief statement of what they want to do, what they want to achieve at NCUC in the position they are running for. Mariam, can I have the list of candidates so that I can go through them? Well, I do know who is running, but would be more organized if I actually get the list. What I could do is that, David, you're running for NCUC chair. Let's start with the NCUC chair position. We go with the ones that are running for the NCUC chair position. David, would you like to take the mic and speak us for us a little bit on what your plans are and what you want to do and why you want to run for NCUC chair? Thanks.
Thank you. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. I really particularly want to run for NCUC chair because I really see that we need, I think we're at a difficult position for the important position that's evolving rapidly with a lot of changes to do with the empowered community and more control over our own budget and a lot of other expanding responsibilities for the EC, where we're not quite sure, we don't have established procedures and we need to learn a little more. So I really think this is a point where we need someone experienced in the chair role who is able to navigate through the complexities of the very complex ICANN organization. And we also have a bunch of absolutely crucial policy positions going on, and I think this is a time we need to really focus and grab people and make sure they are moving into those important policy issues that we really, really need to be very strong on, and we're not at the moment. We've got a small number of people who are working hard and, you know, most of them are also counsellors and going to be very, very hard worked. So if we do not really come together as a constituency and support them. So that's basically the reason why I want to run for chair, is I think there are some really important things we need to do as chair that we need to sort out. I also think it's a good time to help resolve some of the issues within the constituency. Particularly, and within the stakeholder group that we have seen sort of distract us and be a bit less effective over the last few years in terms of competition between constituencies. But I don't think people really understand why it's there so much anymore. And I do have some issues that I have seen over the last year or two that I have come to realize we need to address. particularly in terms of, well, you know, not just I know we've done a great deal of work on the onboarding process, and I know that you, Fazan, have started this great project about trying to get some organized policy training. I think everything that was done on the EC this year was very productive and needs to have sort of momentum continuing behind it. And particularly, we need that really coordinated, making sure that people, when they join, they know what they're joining, they know what they do, and we are able to make sure that they have a good experience, and they presumably join because they want to make some be active and make some policy differences and do things. And often, I think they find it very, they're still finding it difficult. So that's about it. That's my. That will get me off to a start anyway. Thanks.
Great. Thank you very much, David. Just a time limit because this year we have many candidates running for positions, and that's a very good thing. If you could limit yourself to 2-minute statement, that's okay. You can go a little bit over that time, but let's be a little bit brief so that we can get everyone to talk. So the next candidate for chair is Renata. Renata, would you like to take the mic and tell us about what you're planning, why do you want to be in CUC chair? Go ahead, Renata. Renata, we could hear you, but the sound quality, unfortunately, is very poor, and there is an echo. For that, until you are fixing the problem, I will go to Farrell and give you a little bit of time to fix the problem. Farrell, please go ahead. Okay, so now I don't hear anyone. And Chris is running late. Renata, would you like to take I think Farrell is typing. No, we cannot hear you, unfortunately, Farrell.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead, Renata.
Okay, great. So I will stay here on the computer then. Not more on the phone line. About the answer for the question, yes, I have a plan for NCUC designed for short-term goals, medium-term goals, and long-term goals. And that plan, of course, depends on receiving feedback from members. If we decide to change this plan during the course of NCC actions in 2018, we may, of course, do so. But the idea is to increase in-reach and capacity building within NCC as first goal. So for that, mapping out the members who are participating in working groups, trying to redistribute the load that NCC is involved in terms of work in ICANN. And then in midterm goals, we have creating a more steady plan for this outreach and engagement. We have as well our policy practicum that was approved coming up. So involving everyone in that would be great. And for long-term goals, there are many projects and many initiatives led by our members. This is a thriving community. So I believe we can definitely try to ally the skills of our members and their projects to NCC Actions and even to other organizations who have perhaps try our own grants and get to support our members and their work in ICANN, being a part, being a more important part of their life. So initially, these are the actions I had designed. Of course, I imagine that we have many challenges upcoming in ICANN in 2018 in terms of policy, and this will demand that we engage in specific areas such as the emerging identifiers debate, which is coming up, the long already discussion about new GTLDs. So we definitely have to consider important aspects of internet policy regarding the DNS and ICANN now, and include that in our plans. Thank you.
Thank you, Renata. Okay, we can now go to Farrell. Farrell, if you take the mic. Renata, you need to mute yourself. Farrell, please take the mic. If you cannot, is there? Okay, so we are doing a dial-out with Farrell. Okay, so I think there is. We could go to the other candidates for the other positions because Chris also is running late. And then come back to Farrell. So I invite Bruna to tell us a little bit about her plans, why she's running for the LAC Executive Committee membership position, and what her plans are. And she wants to compete with Renata because she was such an amazing EC member. So go ahead, Bruna.
Hi, good morning. Does everybody listen to me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, this is Bruna Ferranti. And at first, thanks a lot, Marion, for setting up this call for me as well. And the reason why I run for NCCEC, maybe it's because, not maybe, it's probably because of my passbook experience. I have been constructing a CV and work experience on internet, either if it's on ensuring rights to citizens or maybe working on capacity building and trying to make people understand internet and what it is about. So I strongly believe that my work on NCC, the reason why I want to be part of the EC, is to continue on building great experiences and continue to contribute to my community regarding internet. When it comes to plans, I would be crazy if I did not maintain any of Renata's actions for the past year at the region. So I would very much like to maintain the LAC call, the mailing list as well. Renata has a really good way to outreach people and organizations and to be present at events. So I would be quite, I would be like undermining her work if I didn't maintain that. So this would be like the same thing, to be as much present as it's possible for me to be in every single fora and trying to reach out to people and, portrays what is NCC and how it is important, because sometimes in the region people don't quite understand where internet meets ICANN or digital rights meet NCC. So this would be the idea at first.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much, Bruna. And now we can go to Farrell. He's on the line. Farrell, please take the mic.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, so good morning, everybody. Thank you again for being on this call, and it demonstrates one more your will to contribute efficiently to the electricity mission. And so as the question arises for the chair is concerned, I want to answer that members are actually willing to have somebody fit for the chair position, the one who is ready to deliver the necessary changes and who they can trust. And by running for a chair position, I want to show the whole community that there is no single way to do things, and innovation can come from everywhere. Actually, innovation only comes when one stops thinking that there is only one way to achieve something. Experience demonstrates that openness is a key diversity factor. We told us many times that stereotypes and those that underrepresented communities can also do it, that women are also able as men, and ultimately that youth can innovate. If you allow me to recall a recent ICANN diversity report I already mentioned in my SOE, it's stating that when ICANN was incorporated in 1988, 75% of the internet users live in developed countries, mostly in North America. But 18 years later, more than 50% of internet users live in developing countries. In 2030, an overwhelming majority of users will access the internet from Asia, Africa, and Latin America, most of them being non-native English speakers. So being tasked to accomplish its mission for the benefit of the internet community as a whole, we must acknowledge this evolution. And today, even ICANN's leadership does not reflect the diversity of internet users and suffers from several imbalances. We can notice. I wish the MCUT becomes a reference for diversity within the ecosystem and benefit from all its advantages. If I'm elected as a chair, I will ensure that skills and diversity be the most important criteria when it comes to appoint members for leadership position, to allocate financial support or whatever. And if that requires me to fight, as Milton did during the creation of the MCUT, it will just represent a price to pay for a better internet for all. And next, to ensure continuity of that, I will acknowledge all efforts done by the current leadership. My first activity will consist in initiating discussion to design our roadmap so as to cope with what members are actually willing to achieve, that the change they want to have. Because I think that all members, all valuable members should work together, especially the elected members to the UNESCO Council, the NTSB councillors, and all NTSB chairs. And we need to sit together and work on drafting a long-term agenda aligned to our vision, and which is coherent with the discussion happening at the top level. This will then guide the NTSB to define a clear roadmap and ensure that all efforts contribute toward the same vision. My communication mechanism allows me to hear everybody and keep everyone posted. I will put a good focus on managing our financial resources. Our financial resources need to be very transparent, democratic, and fair. And to me, it will be important that every member can have access to a periodic and detailed report which emphasizes on our expected and current expense. Members can, for instance, comment on how we allocate resources. This process intends to help the AC to analyze where we are allocating too much money and et cetera. And I think that if it will help us knowing where we are focusing, where we are spending too much money, where we should spend more money, etc. So this is more or less all I will try. try to achieve as a chair, and I think these are things people are waiting for me to do. And despite all the aforementioned, I would like to mention that whether or not I'm elected as a chair, please be ensured that I will continue to contribute to the community even more. I will closely work with the newly elected chairs joined before together, as I believe that position is not the only way to lead forward. So I thank you very much for attention. I'm sorry if you have been a little bit long, but I need to clarify why and I wanted to be elected as chair. And thank you again for your question, and I will be open for private or public discussion of the matter. Thank you again.
Thank you, Farrell. We have received an email from Chris that something urgent has come up, and he probably will be running late. So what I'd like to do is to go with one question that are being asked from the chairs, and then we will go to the executive committee to the rest of the executive committee candidates to make the statements and ask the questions. Since Chris is not here, it's better not to ask that. If he comes in, he might want to actually answer these questions. It's better to wait for him a little bit. So, change of plan, we go to the executive committee candidates. I think Michael is also running late from North America. I don't see him on the call, so we go with Ines from Africa. Ines, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Good morning, everyone. So I'm Ines. I'm from Tunisia, and I'm a teacher, and I'm running for a second term for Africa Rep in the Executive Committee. I'm running for the second term because I feel that for the past year I've learned a lot and I've gained a lot of experience in many aspects in terms of Executive Committee tasks. And I think that I can give more and make things move forward. So I'm trying to better myself and to have some sort of plan for my next term. So I think I've, on my candidate of statement, I think that I made some suggestions that I would like to work on with the NCEC members. I think that we can work on accountability and transparency, and also I am suggesting an onboarding program for policymaking to make NCC members more active in policy and drafting comments. Well, I hope I can be of added value this year as well, and I'm happy to answer all your questions. I don't want to take more time right now, but I'll be happy to take more questions and to answer in detail. And I thank you all for being here today, and I'm waiting for your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ines. So we have also, I don't think Yolanda said that she will be here late, unfortunately. So we go with Elsa. Elsa is on the call. Elsa, go ahead and tell us why you're running for the EC position of Asia Pacific.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Great. I just want to apologize ahead of time. I'm at the airport and traveling in a bit, so if you hear some noise around me, I'd like to apologize for that. Thank you, Farzi. And I really enjoyed listening to Ines, Farrell, Bruna, and everyone. Thank you for your comments. The reason why I'm actually applying to be an EC member for Asia Pacific is that I started my journey with ICANN 54 at ICANN, and I saw how fast one can progress from the first meeting to the third and the fourth. And I think at this point, I'd like to give more to the community, and I'd like to give whatever experience I have from my human rights work in different organizations in the region, whether covering the Middle East or South and Southeast Asia, to ICANN in strategy as well as policy. So I would be honored if I would become an EC member in order to be able to work with a team, the team of at NCUC of EC, and of course helping the chair with whatever is needed. I definitely have a vision in terms of membership and the strategy for that, in order to get new members from AP and make sure that they actually engage in policy processes and understand exactly how ICANN works, in order for the NCUC to actually get to the vision it wants and develop whatever it's gotten to even further. So given my experience with human rights and my strategy building and consultancy, I would be more than honored to give that experience at NCUC, given that I'm in civil society, and I know many of you, and I'm sure that many around us would be, around me and around my networks and around us as members, would be willing to join if we actually put a bit of effort, a bit of extra effort, which I'm willing to take the risk for. So that's about it, in a sense, in terms of the introduction and why I'd like to be in the EC. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elsa. And with that, we go with Zakir. Zakir, please take the mic and tell us why you're running for the Asia Pacific on Executive Committee. Thanks.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
We can.
Thank you. Thank you, Farzi. Thank you, everybody, for this opportunity to share why I want to run for this position. And I thank, at the same time, all the colleagues and the members who actually nominated me and those who supported me. I actually want to run for this position because, as we've seen on the list, that there are comments on and off that Asia Pacific is either underrepresented or not very active at NCUC. So my plan for once I'm just in case I'm given the opportunity to be on the EC, to involve the regional community to contribute to the NCUC and the policy development work that goes within NCUC. And my plan for that is because I've been very actively involved in the region, in Asia Pacific, starting from the regional schools as well as the regional IGS and the national schools and national IGS. I think my strong connections in the national and regional internet governance spaces would allow me a great opportunity to make NCUC more visible within the Asia Pacific region, and then to try to recruit more members, and then try to make strategic plans so as to be able to more actively involve the existing membership. So this goes to be very experience that we need to do is to come up with a strategy to make NCUC more visible to the civil society within the region, and then reach out to civil society organizations within the region, to different internet government spaces and other potential platforms that can experts who are working on financial aspects of the DNS industry and the related areas. So I think my involvement with the regional IGFs, being a member of the multi-stakeholder governance group of Asia Pacific Regional IGF, and then being part of the discussion group at Asia Pacific School on Internet Governance, my involvement with the Middle East and Adjoining Countries Strategy Working Group, as well as the Middle East and Adjoining Countries School on Internet Governance, and certain other national Internet Governance schools and chapter and ISOC chapters. I think that would be a great opportunity for me to present NCUC to the potential members as well as to potential civil society organizations. And I think that's something we need to concentrate on, you know, these potential members and to actually motivate them and encourage them to participate to the policy development process and all that is going on at NCUC. So with that brief note, I think I would like to conclude my the introductory remarks, and if there are any specific questions for me, I would be happy to respond to them. Thank you.
Thank you, Zakir. Then we will go with Louise. Louise, please take the mic and tell us why you are running for the European position on the Executive Committee. Go ahead, Louise.
Thank you, Farzi. Hi, everyone. Can you all hear me? I'm in the cafe, but I hope it's not too loud.
Yes,
is it okay?
Go ahead.
Perfect. So I want to run for the EC in Europe. It's quite nice, like, to be running for this position. First of all, it's an honor to be being a potential candidate for following the great work that Tatiana has been doing in the EC in this past year and working along with all the other EC members from all different regions, not only in terms of outreach, but mostly in elaborating and finally the NCUC procedural rules. So I think that's a really interesting to start out with this because I think we have so many challenges for this next year, but in a good way, I would say, in terms of continuing this process, in terms of guaranteeing accountability, transparency, and actually a good harmonious EC group. So not only in terms of my personal interests, but I think seeing this larger perspective of how do I come into or potentially come into this larger ecosystem of how to work with different ECs. So I think that's a first point. The second one, why I want to work for the EC is mostly, well, I've had quite an experience in internet governance for the past few years, not only being in internet governance related forums, working with capacity building, tutoring, especially with people who want to get engaged in these spaces but don't know how to start. So I've been working a lot with that for the past years. Also, I'm in this, as I said in my statement, I'm in this blurry line between civil society and academia. I've been doing a lot of research in internet governance and cybersecurity, and more specifically in governance mechanisms. So I think this can bring a lot of things to the EC, and going more deeply into NCUC and what I have been doing in the NCUC, I think I've had the wonderful opportunity, and I'm really grateful to have been part of and still be part of the onboarding program, which I think it's a very unique piece of what NCUC has been doing, and I see the Aiden's over in the call, so I'm really happy also to see him here. So I think that running for the EC is like a following step, a way of providing continuity in what I have been able to engage in NCC, so with the onboarding program, helping and reviewing, interacting with the EC before rolling out the documents, knowing more or less what can we work in terms of outreach, but not only in terms of outreach, but can we bring people and make them stay, and that's what the onboarding program is all about mentorship, about not only providing this grant framework, but also to provide some kind of network between those who are already in the NCUC for quite a while and people who are newcomers. So how do we connect these people? And I think that's something that would be really great if we could work as a team throughout this next year. That is part of the strategy that I have in mind. Also, I have been working in the RPM's working group and the temporary subteam on trademark claims. I've worked with Kathy and also elaborated a newcomer's guide for RPM. So in what people were, the previous candidates were talking about, in terms of onboarding for policy processes. I agree that we need a focus on policy processes, but perhaps the strategy might be to somehow see what we already have, see the onboarding program, see what we have been doing in terms of outreach, and how can we get these things and actually work on top of them. I think that's a very a core aspect. So in terms of policy development processes, one thing that was pretty useful in terms of outreach, right, was this newcomer's document for RPMs just explaining, giving a brief outline. And also, I think, to be quite frank, I think that this is a very, like, run for the EC is a very important process in my journey within ICANN. It's an important process for learning, connecting my experience outside ICANN with inside NQC. So I think this is more of like this very mix of things. I think it's a salad that I think it's just a continuous process. And I see the EC as a very interesting, a very good next step. Thank you
very much, Louise. So now we have gone through all the candidates, except a couple who cannot unfortunately make it. I don't see Chris joining us, and Michael hasn't joined us yet either. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to go with the questions. We first discussed the questions to the chair position, and all the candidates who are running for chair will have the opportunity to answer, and then we move to the executive committee question. So one of the first questions to the chair is that, what do you think that NCUC members expect from the new chair? I believe as chair, you have the ability to know that what members need and what they want to see as a change with your new leadership. Please do comment on this. Whoever wants to go first, please just raise your hand or take the mic and go ahead. Okay, Renata, go ahead, please.
Hi, Renata here. Let me know if you can hear me. This is a very good question about expectations from the members. We have to be careful with our expectations. We, of course, want the world and the moon and a bit more. But I think that NC's members have grown a lot in these past few instances of important events in ICANN, such as the IANA transition. And our members definitely expect the chair to lead the process of engagement a lot more and help them become more knowledgeable and more actively involved in ICANN policies, and that can only be done as a collective effort. So I believe that interfacing with NC's GPC, with our more experienced members, as well as our energetic newcomers, is a challenge that it also will make the chair's work much more important in this phase of NCC. So I see these expectations, and I would like as well to raise them with expectations for NCC itself. I believe NCC can take a much more central role in ICANN. There is a high caliber of participation from academia, from active members of other communities who can bring in their experience and create community-wide dialogue in the future of ICANN policies. So the chair has, especially considering that while Farzani was chair, we have made huge strides. So the chair has a lot to answer for, but I believe that our expectations are convergent. Our plan as goals for NCC and the expectations of our members. So I would like to thank you for the question, and I'm available to answer the other one as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Renata. And if any of the other chair candidates would like to... Okay, David. David, please go ahead.
Okay, this is a question about what are our expectations. A question about what are our expectations for the chair. I think there is a sense where what is needed to be done by the chair and the EC is increasing. We bring a lot more done in the, I think, almost every year of the last few. We've seen the EC do a little more, but especially the last year has been a very active and engaged EC. I think there is a sense where we do expect more of the chair than we have perhaps, you know, 5 or more years ago. I do think that we need to, you know, raise our expectations a little, but I also think that we need to not just expect more of the people we elect, but also put new ways, continually work on new ways to spread that load around as NCUC as a whole becomes more active, work out ways that we can bring people in to help with some of these, you know, with budgeting, with planning for outreach events and things like that. So people have both ways to be involved without having to necessarily jump in and take a position on the EC if they want to get involved in organizational things. I do think that the membership, the expectations of the membership are very important, but we also need to look really carefully at the way, the functional way in which NCUC is performing. We don't just need to look at, are the membership happy? We need to look at other people. Are we being actively involved in policy processes? Are we having a strong voice on issues? Are we continuing to increase and expand membership? And to some extent, some of those things are not obvious. We need to how to improve. I think one of the strengths I really think I am able to bring to EC is I do understand we do have to be better at supporting our councillors. We do need to be better at supporting the people that are really doing the work. We need to be supporting people that are in working groups and not quite answering to really, keep up with the work, that load that they're getting and dealing with all the, by this stage, some ICANN issues are very, very complicated with a long, complicated history of preceding policy. So, I think that's one of the strengths is I've done the policy work. I've been a councillor. I know what we as NCUC need to support those people, but also I think everybody needs to be, we all realize we're struggling with that transition from, I'd like to do more policy to I'm becoming a really active participant. So that's sort of my thing. We need to monitor how well we're doing at a lot of these issues rather than just talking about what the membership want and whether we're delivering it to them. We're not simply a membership organization. We have a really important job to do, and we need to be very aware of how well we're doing that job. Thanks.
Thank you very much, David. Now I'd like I will ask Farrell to unmute himself and take the mic and tell us and give us an answer to question one, which is about as the chair, you have the ability to know what members need and what they want to see as a change. So the question is asking, what sort of change do you want to bring to NCUC? What sort of change are you bringing to NCUC, Farrell, if you get elected?
Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Okay. Thank you very much. As I said to you earlier, my previous speech, I actually has run further always into that question before realizing that it's only now we need to answer. But members are willing to have some modifications for the chair position, the one who is ready to deliver the necessary changes and who they can trust. I think that their expectations are to have somebody who firstly acknowledge the work done so far by the current leadership and engage more with the community, and then apply our operation procedure to act with transparency, democracy, and devotion. The chair has also the ultimate mission to bring people together, whatever, wherever they come from or which community they belong to. He also needs to defend the NCUC against attacks from other stakeholders that do not want us to exist. So actually, to achieve that, the crucial change I want to make is firstly to set up a long-term agenda, I mean a roadmap that will be broadcast, that will be published to everyone who will know that, okay, this is what NCUC want to achieve in a 5-year, 10, 7-year term or whatever. And the second thing is to work on membership efficiency. We need to engage more people, and because membership is very important, it's crucial, because membership will ensure that we have the right skills, we have the good people who can work effectively to deliver the change we want. And skills, in addition to diversity, will be very important, and I insist on those two factors, like diversity and skill, to achieve our goal. This is the change, crucial thing I want to make. I think that diversity is so important. It will lead to a richer debate, it will lead to more democracy, more transparency, it will make us benefit from various experience from people coming from diverse sectors or fields, and it will be the biggest change I want to achieve. I want to empower us more with that set of mind. And NCUC can become a leader or a reference in terms of diversity to show the rest of the internet community that we are doing well. So this is all I want to say about that question. And if you would like some clarification, I will be very open to answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Farrell. So the other question that was asked from the candidates for the chair position, I am going to answer the first question myself. What do you consider being the difference between, in terms of engagement and weight between individual members and organization within the NCUC? The only difference is the voting weight. And we do not differentiate or treat our individual and organizational members differently. And it should not be done in the future. So that should not, I don't think that should be in your campaign slogan. And but the other questions are, so what are your plans to recruit large and influential civil society groups to join NCUC, and if you see value in that, and also sometimes on the mailing list we don't feel the difference between individual members and if the members are representing themselves or if they're representing an organization. What do you think is the reason? What is your strategy to make sure these representatives are conveying our work to their respective organizations? So I believe that, so the question, the gist of the question is that how are you going to bring organizations and how are you going to engage with them and kind of like communication strategy with the organizational members. Please go ahead and respond. Maybe we can start with Renata again. Renata, do you want to answer this question? Just please be brief. We want to go through all the questions. So.
Yes, Renata here. For the interest of time, I will go very quickly on the questions here. So about regional engagement, I think we need to think of this not only as continents, but regions within continents as well. So we have been quite lucky to have Asia Pacific representation from Australia with David, and then we have candidates here from West Asia, and we have had a nomination for Southeast Asia. But really, when you think, for instance, in how many internet governance schools, how many IGFs are in the region, we definitely need to redistribute the balance as well of regional representation. And for that, I think we can work yet more on engagement and on making sure diverse representation is present in our group. I'm struggling here to get all the questions, so if I don't, if I forget anything, just send on the chat or Fardone may remind me as well. And I'm going for the next one. The difference between engagement of individual members and organizations and bringing in large organizations. I'm very happy that we brought...
Sorry, Renata, just to remind you that we don't have to, because these are questions from one person. We can go through all of them at once. It's in the interest of time and also to give others questions value. You don't have to answer all the questions that are in that paragraph. You can follow up on the mailing list. So please be very brief, another 20 seconds.
Okay. So I'll just rephrase once more my plan, which is we need to have goals. So I think the first step is engaging and creating work, investing in training. The next step is to redistribute our representation and participation in groups. And finally, we can work on getting grants or working in projects which will get NCC to an even higher path than it is now. So I guess that was a big moment, 20 seconds. But these are the main points of the plan, and we can of course correct our trajectory once we have that in place. Thanks.
Thank you. David, do you want to answer that question?
This is question four.
So it's a question about how do you want to engage with organizations. Yes, it is question four, but you don't have to go through answering all of them. Just, you know, a brief response on how you want to engage the organizational members. If you want to add anything more, you can take it on the mailing list.
Yeah. I represent an organizational member, so I have thought about this question a little bit. I do think that there is no particular point in representing large and influential civil society groups to join NCUC unless they're going to be sort of active and engaged. But it's been really good to find that we have been able to make some of those groups active and engaged. It's really great to see, for example, EFF coming to ICANN and bringing some new and different issues It would be really, I do think we need to reach out in some cases for large organizations. We really need to really make them understand that they to engage. It's not so much of becoming a member, but about engaging in our issues. And I think there is really at the moment a case to do that a lot with a lot of privacy organizations to realize just how much work we're doing here and just how important it is. So there are certainly are some privacy-based civil society groups. So I'd really like to join NCUC and become active in our things. I do think there are some issues we sort of address about organizational members, particularly because we sort of, it tends to be we even representing an organization, we tend to engage as individuals. And sometimes that means when people move on that we lose the connection with that organization. I think we need to do a little bit more work about how we reach out beyond the individual and keep organizations involved. I think it's a strategic thing, and I think it really, to a large extent, it's an individual thing where we need to draw on particularly our experienced members who already have connections to many of these large civil society organizations. But we also are involved in other processes through the IGF and the IFF and things like that. We do need to keep outreach to those events where lots of other organizations are represented, including particularly ones beyond the sort of standard ISTAR sort of community. So we need to go beyond the IGF and the regional IGFs and things and reach out to events like F Rights Con and so on. Thanks.
Great, thank you very much. Farrell, please take the floor, unmute yourself, take the floor. And we are on question four about engaging with organizational members. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, Farrell. And I think that you have said the most important part of about the WIS. And what I do think is that organizational members can help us more with outreach if we are, for instance, to organize a LICAN meeting or even an outreach event somewhere, and a member, which is an organizational member, would like to contribute, it will make us have a more impactful action, which will bring us more members and more valuable members of SCOP. And I think it's good to have also an organizational member and within our constituency. And if we need to see the difference or to show the difference in organizational members versus individual members in the work in the constituency, and I think we should do that, because sometimes one may not have the same opinion as its organization. So sometimes it may be useful to have a way to mention that. What I'm thinking, for instance, is to have some kind of tag within the subject when they are sending mail to say, that, hey, this is an organization member is commenting as an organization, not as an individual. So I think if we want to show that, and we may need to show that, we can do it this way. So this is all I think by now, but I would like to treat both as individual and organization member equally. Otherwise, people coming from organization member can sometimes act and frustrate people who are member as an individual. That's all. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. So we have a couple of other questions from the chair candidates. What we could do is we could go through other questions as well from the executive committee, so that if we don't have the time, we have actually covered some of these questions from the executive committee. So I'm not ignoring those questions, but let's go to some of the questions on executive committee. One of the first questions is about Asia Pacific. So it is addressed to the candidates that are running for the Asia Pacific position. They say when you talk about Asia Pacific involvement, it is very much like Asia Pacific is not very engaged at NCUC. What are your plans for outreach and increasing the numbers for the region? Also, you could also at the same time answer the question which is related to do you have more visualized plan on how to engage internet governance, net freedom community in Asia Pacific with NCUC? And we should always consider within NCUC mission, which is about domain name policy, and we do not go any further than that. So with that, I invite the candidates to intervene. Whoever is that, here or Elsa, whoever wants to take the mic first, please go ahead. Zakir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Farzana. Zakir again. Asia Pacific involvement, as the question says, thank you very much for the question, by the way. The question says Asia Pacific involvement and engagement is very less. I mean, if this is the number of members from Asia Pacific, I think members from Asia Pacific is probably the second largest region in terms of members. It's probably the number of members we have, organization members from the region. But just in terms of their participation and activity within NCUC, it's probably. I think, yeah, they're not very much active. So my plan for this will be to get in touch with the region on different initiatives and platforms which can share the situation.
Zakir, I'm sorry, we cannot hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We can't hear you. Sorry about that. Can you please?
Working now. Can you hear me now?
Yes, it's better.
Hello. Working now. Can you hear me?
Let me change the mic. Can you hear me now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, getting in touch with two society organizations on different platforms within the region, that is Asia Pacific Regional Internet Governance Forum, Asia Pacific Schools and Internet Governance, and certain other, you know, national and regional schools and internet governance. So as to, you know, while I'm cognizant of the fact that we need to recruit more members from the region, but at the same time, I think we need to more actively involve the existing members, both individual and organization members from the region. And my plan for that is to make a list of potential organization members from Asia Pacific region, and as well as make a list of existing organization members and then get in touch with them one by one, so as to collaborate with them within the mission of NCUC on different events or initiatives in the region. So for example, we have a very active organization in Pakistan called Digital Rights Foundation. We can get in touch with them. First, we are planning to invite them to become a member of NCUC and then collaborate with them on different issues that fall within the remit of NCUC in its mission. And for example, we have an existing member from India of Observer Research Foundation. We can get in touch with them because Arun Sukumar, for example, from there is very active in the regional internet governance space. So again, that's something we can get in touch with them. Open Rights Foundation from Korea, again, another Asia Pacific organization that is working on the non-commercial aspects of the civil society organization. So getting in touch with these organizations on different regional platforms and initiatives, I think, would help us to
Thank you very much, Zakir. Sorry, just in the interest of time, we have to go with Elsa. Elsa, just briefly give us an answer to the Asia-Pacific related question. How are you, what are your strategies to engage them more, and how you want to like get the internet governance related institutions in Asia-Pacific involved with NCUC? Please be very brief.
Thank you, Farzi. I just want to thank you for the question, because the moment I came into the ICANN circle, I could see clearly how much of a lack of representation was there, especially with women who are in the field and within the NCUC. For instance, we do have very prominent women, but I would love to see more of them from the region specifically, women and men, but you know. So basically, I think, and you noted something very important about ICANN being very technical and very direct in the sense. But for instance, in my experience, I only started off in a course on IG with Rafiq Dammak, who was the previous NCUC chair and current NCSG, not current NCSG chair, but the representative to GNSL. And basically, it was only about IG, but that was an access point for me to understand where policy is actually being developed, and eventually I came into the sphere of ICANN with the help of the fellowship. So I think it's the important size and overlapping those small bubbles that are all around, especially in IG events around the world, whether it's in Asia Pacific or not. And then, of course, I think we should keep an eye out for any events where NCC could participate in the Asia Pacific region, of course, to create general awareness and also increase interest of potential future membership, basically. So, and anytime, for instance, a meeting happens in the region, there should be preparation ahead of time in order to make sure that there are proper grounds for us to reach out to the people who are not members or who are new to this field and eventually get them interested. And if not interested, at least be knowledgeable about the processes that go around, the policies, the strategies that go around ICANN and how it works, the mechanisms. I'm going to stop here since we have just a bit of time, and I'm open to any questions eventually on thread or by call, of course.
That's great. Thank you very much. There are two specific questions that are addressed to Ines for the executive committee position on Africa. So one is that you applied for the position of NOMCOM, and does that mean that the NCUC Africa position was not as exciting for you as the NOMCOM position? Just to clarify, Ines applied for the NOMCOM position and competed with someone else, but someone else was appointed to that position. The question is now asking that why NOMCOM came first. And Ines didn't want to consider to run for another NCCC Africa opportunity. Ines, do you want to answer that question? I hope it was clear.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, thank you for the question about the NOMCOM, but I'm not sure to understand, because I did not resign from NCCC Africa. And the NOMCOM was a 2008 position, so I'm not sure to understand the meaning. NCUCEC Africa is very exciting, and I've done my job to the best I could. So, and I mean, the willingness to run for a position for NOMCOM is not a problem at all, especially if it's 2018. So I'll be fulfilling my EC Africa duties till the end. Thank you. So this is the only question I have. Sorry, Farzana, I can't see the text.
So you also have another question. So the first question actually addressed they actually asked whether you wanted to really run for the EC Africa position in 2018. Since you could not have run if you were appointed to NOMCOM. But I think that's a sufficient answer you gave. let's go to the second question, which is asked here. So you talked about the policy onboarding program, and you want to do a policymaking onboarding program. They're asking who will create this policy onboarding program.
Okay, thank you very much for the question, because this is what I'm mostly passionate about, I think, for the next term, if I am offered the opportunity. For the policy onboarding program, as I stated on my candidate statement, I said that I would love the collaboration of the policy committee and also some experienced NCC members from whom I've learned a lot ever since I joined NCC. So this is what I felt was missing, actually, and would make NCC even more efficient in policy making, is that sometimes there are a lot of members in NCUC that I'm noticing they are very active and motivated and they have potential, but unfortunately they don't have the training and the know-how, the skills to write policies. That's why I was thinking maybe we could create some policy onboarding program, so that onboarding training, I would like to call it, rather than a program, which is like to build bridges between NCUC and the policy committee, and at the same time they would feel more motivated to provide policies, and they would have the skills to write them and to draft comments. This is what I meant by the policy onboarding training. Thank you. Do I have any other questions? Sorry, my Adobe is frozen.
No other questions, just the comments by Aidan. By collaboration, do you mean you expect others to write it? I think a policymaking onboarding program should be developed by those who are actively involved in NCUC's policy work. However, I know the PC is at capacity, so this commitment you are making for this PC seems a large burden on others. So this is a comment by Aidan, and I want to know if how. We have an onboarding program which is complementary and really it's not unrelated to policy. So how are you going to improve upon that? Just very brief answer. Thank you.
Yes, so absolutely. I am in keeping with Aidan's idea, because I think that the policy committee is doing its best. But I am thinking about the newcomers that are not really involved in that policy work. So that's why I am thinking about creating like a bridge between those two programs to get them more evolved and motivated. So that's just a training. And it could be on a volunteering basis. It's not like the policy committee has to do the work, or I am assigning this to the policy committee. I am suggesting that we could volunteer, especially the experienced ones, and some of the policy committee. They could volunteer to help those newcomers. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Ines. Okay, so there is a question from Renata.
On Africa? Sorry.
I don't see there's no more question for you. So Renata, someone is asking, how are you going to make sure that there will be that unison among members and respect of each other's opinion and views? I hope there won't be unionism in NCC. That would be dangerous. But Renata, go ahead and tell us how we can be united.
Thank you, Farzana. Thank you for the question. We're going to think right, isn't it? Yes. I also hope that I think that the idea here was unison, like one voice. Yes. As I have also written on the list, there will be issues where we will have disagreements. But in fact, what we need to understand is that we have a chair and we have an EC for regions. So NCUC is designed specifically to create that respect among members from all regions, and views and opinions, and as well as I'll quickly address the discussion on budget and on organizational members. There is a system in place with checks and balances to guarantee that we have this respect for every one of our members. So organizations have a specific number of votes, the members also vote on the elections, the individual members. And you have as well every region contributing to their view of a more global program for the group, like the policy onboarding program, which Aidan is a part of. There were meetings involving all EC to discuss this program. There was a process of accompanying it with the chair. So whatever we plan, it is planned by the chair with this executive committee and with the members. So not only does the chair have to work with everyone, but has to make sure that every checks and balances are in place so that the process runs smoothly. So this is what I wanted to respond. There is no individual favoritism to any member or to any specific organization. We are very lucky to have great organizations in NCC. We are receiving Wafa Ben Hassin from Access Now in ICON 60 as a fellow. Jeremy Malcolm from EFF has contributed to one of NCC's conversations among one of our members. And I believe the system works very well right now.
Very much, Renata. Sorry, we're a little bit stretched in time, so I think that was like sufficient. Thank you. So, Farrell, there was a specific question asked to Renata, so we covered that. There are a couple of other questions from about how the chair candidate has planned to reactivate the current members that are not actively engaged. And also there's another question, which is, do you believe it is important to adhere to deadlines? So if anyone wants to go ahead and answer these questions, just be very brief because we want to give some time to comment and other questions too. So go ahead. Deadline, do you think it's important to adhere to deadlines? And how do you plan to reactivate members? Thank you.
Okay. Am I on the phone? Can you listen to me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. So to me, respecting deadlines is very important as it demonstrates how rigorous and serious we can be. It is leading by example. So yes, important. However, I think it's also important to set achievable deadlines by working efficiently and look at the whole scope. So we need to involve the valuable member. We need to do it like in a democratic way and set achievable goals. Otherwise, even if we have the willing to respect deadlines, we won't, because the set goals are not very well reasonable. For the second question, whether or not we should activate members who are not participating actively, there are two reasons that may explain why people are not active or participating actively. Either they are getting stuck on what is going on, or they don't want to contribute more than the level they are putting at the place. So I will just try to reach out to them once or more or twice and concentrate on the first group of people, because it's likely that people who are not willing to contribute will not change their mind if I reach them again to ask the question, unless they demonstrate to all the community that we are doing something wrong. And if we change, it will stimulate the participation. So, yes, I will give them a chance, but I will not focus too much on people who do not want especially to participate. Thank you very much.
Okay, David, go ahead.
Thanks.
First, on the issue of deadlines, look, there's internal processes and external ones where we're dealing with other parts of ICANN and the ICANN organisation and so forth. When it, I think we need to be understanding the serious workload many of our members are under when it comes to some of the internal issues to MCUC, something we need to understand people are really pushed. But in general, deadlines that are outside MCUC to do with ICANN processes, of course, we have to take them very seriously. We much of what ICANN does is in the MCUC does is in the context of ICANN is very complicated and we can't expect people to wait for us. So deadlines, of course, are really important, and we're trying to keep all our policy work in particular structured and responding to things on time. It's always been a real challenge and something we need to struggle with and to make sure we do everything. But, of course, that's more the NCSGPC that needs to deal with that issue than NCUC, I think. Of course, though, we need to respond to questions from the organisation on time if we want to, you know, make sure our ideas are considered for the budget and so forth. As far as reactivating the current members, that's a very good question, and it really does depend on why they have deactivated. Like some simply important people who were involved have moved on. Some they may have got involved for one particular policy issue, and it may not. I don't really. We need to keep people, letting people know what is going on at ICANN. We need to keep letting people know what they can do to join in, particularly if it's something that is not a huge commitment. Just have members participate in policy discussions. I think at the moment a lot of our biggest policy issues are important enough we don't actually talk about them too much on the list, and perhaps we should try a little harder to let people know. But we are in a period, I think, where some of these expecting our members who are doing a lot of work to also take time out to sort of summarise and bring things back to the list can be quite difficult. So it's a real question. I think it really struggles, I think, in the sense of how do we get people involved in processes and things. That may be one of the things we think about is some of our, you know, newer members looking to get involved in policy processes might want to think about helping bring that back to list discussion.
Okay, David, thank you very much. As internal NCUC deadline, which I would like to respect, let's move on to Renata. Sorry, we don't have much time, and Yolanda just arrived, so I'd like to ask. Also, I want to give some time to her. If we can hear from Yolanda a little bit, Yolanda is running for Executive Committee in Africa. Yolanda, would you like to make a couple of points on why you want to be a representative of Africa on Executive Committee? Are you ready to speak? Okay. So I cannot hear Yolanda. Okay, so Renata, if you want to respond to that question, the deadline and reactivating members.
Renata here. The deadlines are very important, and most important is that we have our members participating on comments and on drafting teams. I'm well aware how challenging it is to be a new member and try to participate. I have started in ICANN 53, as I stated in my SOI, and I think NCC really needs to get more members sending in public comments. So we need to have a system in place so so that we can execute the work needed for policy in ICANN within the deadline. This is very important, and try to increase the level of participation. Again, I believe that nothing is done alone, and we have a policy chair, Rafiq, who is here in the call of us. Thank you for that, Rafiq. And we need to know why we are doing things and where we are going with a public comment or with a drafting team participation on a working group, for instance, so that we can meet the deadline and keep NCC values in mind and complete the work needed. So this is very important, and it has to be well observed.
Thank you, Renan. If Yolanda can make the mic working, that would be great. Otherwise, we have gone through our questions, and if there are no questions, then you can take this conversation to the mailing list. Renata wants to make a comment. Renata, go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick comment as well on the Renata here, on that answer I just gave. So I'm saying again the policy committee, because we can interface with other groups, other members of NCC that can help us fulfill these missions. And I also want to commend Bruna's mention of local organizations. I spoke a bit about organizations that have members also within the LEC region, like Javier Palero of Access Now is with us. We have two, Kimberly and Anastasia from Coding Rights, who helped us in the diversity working group on accountability, on the cross-community working group in accountability. And I also want to address a bit the coming back to the regional thing, now that Yolanda is here as well. My point for Africa would be the same as the point I've made for Asia-Pacific, and which is also important for LAC as for other regions. We need to think about regional distinctions too, so sub-regions, like we have South Africa being such a partner since our recent outreach, and we also had Southeast Europe. We have Southeastern Europeans members well engaged. So I would really like to leave that thought for our members and for our EC candidates to work on and maybe comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Renata. Rafiq's hand is up, and I hope that we can do a dialogue to Yolanda soon. Rafiq, go ahead.
Okay. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thanks. I'm sorry. So, I mean, it's the call for candidates, but I wanted to make a quick comment. Reading the statement of interest and hearing some response what was answered today, I have to confess that I'm kind of concerned hearing them, because it seems that several candidates are not really familiar or aware about the current state of NCUC, and they are making several claims that I find maybe baseless or non-factual. And when someone is running for such leadership position, it's important to do the homework to know about the structure they want to lead. So I'm not putting anyone on the spot, but I wanted really to make this comment because I understand it's an election, it's a campaign, and there is temptation to promise a lot. But we are just a structure within ICANN, and there is a reality of what we are supposed to do. So I just wanted to make this comment as a former chair, and I wanted to share it with all candidates and members when the voting time comes. So I hope they take it as a feedback and not necessarily criticism, but I was really concerned at hearing several of the comments made today, but also in the mailing list. So thanks.
Thank you, Rafiq. So if the candidates for chair want to answer that, if they want to comment on that, they're welcome to. Farrell, feel free to just unmute yourself if you cannot raise your hand, or anyone else. I don't want to call people out, but yeah. Okay, so it seems like there's no comment on that. And there was a question from Aiden to the EC candidate. Do you believe in giving the team credit, or do you think the credit for projects should be attributed to the project manager? If any of the EC candidates want to answer that, just be very brief. And we are kind of over time now, and it is like we don't have many more questions. Go ahead, Renata. No, this is not to chair. This is not a question for you. It's for Ines. Okay, so Ines' time is up, and any other EC member. Go ahead, Ines.
Thank you very much, Aiden. I think that the tribute should be to the whole team, because it's going to be a teamwork. So definitely the project manager has the credit and the merit of having suggested some project in itself. But I think that it is for the team to work on the details and to help in implementing it. So definitely the whole team should be given credit. Thank you.
Okay, so the whole team should be given credit. I think that's what most of us agree with. Does anyone else want to? Someone's talking over me. Sorry, I just lost concentration. Is Yolanda on? Yolanda.
Please, stay online or call later.
Number it's really interesting. Okay, can we mute them? Mariam, can you help here?
I'm working with the operator to get this sorted. Apologies, everyone, for this. We'll get this rectified now.
Okay, so Wisdom has a question to Renata. I'd like to know, so Yolanda, we are trying to get Yolanda on. So Wisdom question is, you suggested seeking new ways of funding for NTUC members and seeking sponsors. I will be glad if you can elaborate more on that. I think also Farrell said that in his statement. So maybe we can, Farrell has left. Okay, so Renata, very briefly tell us, your plan for, getting outside funding and then we go to Yolanda. Oh, I can see. Okay. So, and then we go to Yolanda. Go ahead.
Thank you, Farzani, and thank you, Wisdom, for this question. I will also briefly relate that to question 10, which I didn't address too much. So I believe NTC members have great skills and potential. Oh, and I say they're on the line again, but I hope you can listen to me okay. That was a joke. It was not an essay. Continuing. So I believe the members have some great work already with other organizations, other events, and what we need to try and find is a synergy of all this potential with ICANN DNS policy, which is a limited, which it has a limited scope and a very defined mission. So having that in mind, we have already had participation of people from think tanks in our policy processes. So we can definitely try and find a path to create projects together and work with organizations who may or may not have grants or fellowships. And NCUC is here to support its members. So if you wanted to make a proposal for Internet Freedom Festival, for example, and run for the Internet Freedom Festival Diversity and Inclusion Fund, based on your actions, for instance, in RDS, you can do it, just like Aiden did. If you want to do something for RiceCon, like Michael Ogia did, you can also do. He collaborated on a proposal with several other NCUC members. So that is possible, and the ECE and the chair are here to listen to you. I believe as well on the other issue of engaging non-active members, sometimes our non-active members are just with focus on other work or other organizations, so we can definitely bring that in. I believe you, Wisdom, have some work in the data initiative, open data initiatives in Africa. That would be a good dialogue with the new open data and transparency initiative with ICANN. So I guess the person you could talk to about that would be Michael Karnicholas, for instance, and do a project for NCUC, participate in the comments. So there are always opportunities that our members can have. It's just about reaching out to the chair and to the EC or having that dialogue with the members. Also, we will also have this plan as chair, and the EC is working to engage the regions. We'll also have this dialogue both ways and increase these exchange of ideas, creation of projects. So, of course, all with the mission, having in mind the mission that ICANN has, and as Rafiq said, there are many moving parts to ICANN. So we need to be well aware that we are not alone in producing policy. As well, I would like to briefly address Nadira's comment on if conflicts of interest. We have had...
Renata, can we... Renata, sorry. We have Yolanda online, and I'd like to give her a chance to talk.
Cool.
You can come back up after that. Yolanda, if you take the mic and tell us why you're running for the position of Executive Africa Representative.
Hello, everyone. So can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Hello? Oh, okay, cool. So the reason why I accepted the nomination to be the Africa rep is because I firmly believe that I'm very passionate about Africa and internet governance as a whole. Having gone through various programs within Africa and networking with different people, I do believe that I have a good feel of understanding the continent and its problems. Additionally, forming part of NCUC now and sort of not really feeling a sense of community within Africa at the moment, I feel like there's much more to be desired. I think what I would like to achieve anyway, as stated in my statement of interest, is that stronger efforts in terms of community building within existing African members is a need. For example, we had our first webinar, and well done to the team that organized that, but I think it has to be a regular initiative, and the fact that it only happened late in the year as well, that is a cause for concern for me. And I also believe, as one of the things I've also suggested that should happen in terms of building a stronger voice within Africa and Africa engaging, you know, within NCUC much more effectively, there needs to be some sort of a peer-to-peer buddy system that I believe that can really enhance the way in which we even the way in which we do outreaches in Africa and the way in which African members feel comfortable within, tackling issues within NCUC. I really believe that the work that NCUC does is great and should be done on a larger scale. And currently, we only wait for an ICANN meeting to happen. And I don't think that should be the case. I feel that DNS policy issues are everyday issues, and we should discuss these on a larger scale. And we're very fortunate in Africa having people who form part of organizations that actively go out and talk about internet governance as a whole. They should try and integrate, you know, the work that NCUC does on a larger scale and in our everyday events that we have locally. Also, forming part of Internet Society Gauteng, we really sort of put ourselves in a situation where we try and serve the community first. So being part of a group like Tat Dom Fik, who's also an NCUC member, and others, we really have tried to spearhead the conversation around internet freedom and also internet governance as a whole. And I think that really positions me in a great way to contribute what I've learned from the work that I've done with ISO Gauteng, with APC when I was with APC, in the work that I could potentially do within NCUC. Also, in terms of outreach, I believe that more could be done in bringing new voices to NCUC. Right now, I feel that NCUC and ICANN as a whole is a very elitist space. In Africa, we have real challenges, and sometimes trying to explain what DNS is can be a challenge, but I do believe that there really is room and opportunity to grow and to actually infiltrate Africa more. And I guess this really talks to how do we talk about DNS policy in a way that people understand and in a way that non-commercial users are interested. For those of you who were at the Johannesburg outreach, many would see that people are interested in this, but they really sort of struggling with how to participate in it. And right now, I do feel that NCUC and ICANN as a whole is a bit far removed from Africa, and I would like to assist in spearheading a campaign towards bringing NCUC to the ground and for people to relate to. Also, in terms of communications, I think communications is a very big one for me. And I mean, my background is in marketing and communications, as well as media studies and international relations, so a bit of a hybrid. But I think in the way in which we communicate, the way in which we are visible, really does draw attention. And that, for me, is a very important thing that we should start using and doing. For example, after the NCUC outreach event that happened in Johannesburg, I was like, man, I have to write about this, because people want to know. And ever since I wrote that blog, people were like, okay, what is this? How can I get involved? And I think if our African community could write, even if it's commenting on a DNS policy, a local policy, that is a step in getting people in. So I think for me, the main reason, and I think this runs through, the main reason why I want to really represent Africa within NCUC is to really bring it down to the grassroots people. NCUC is all about non-commercial users. And I think it's about time that is really played out and people can relate and resonate with NCUC. So that's really why I want to run. And also, I guess, I know travel funding, you know, has been a high topic and a very topical one, very sensitive at most. But I do think it's something that we need to tackle and that the incoming EC, you know, will take this on board. I do think creative ways of lobbying for more funding and ways to make funding much more transparent and inclusive need to be thought out more carefully. I've got a couple of ideas that I already have that I would love to share, and I will share irrespective of whether I am the rep for Africa or not. So that's basically in a nutshell. I know that I'm quite late, so I'm trying to really run through this, but I do believe that I'm very committed to the cause. I'm very passionate about internet governance, and I do believe that the work and exposure that I've had in Africa really, even though it has not been, some may say that I'm quite young, but I think that is also to my advantage. I've worked with the likes of APC. I've worked in the Africa School of Internet Governance. I've spoken on many panels, like the Forum on Internet Freedom in Africa recently in 2 weeks. So I can say that, you know, I'm a candidate that understands the issues of Africa and really passionate about them. And I think that's basically it for me.
Thank you very much, Yolanda. If anyone has any question to Yolanda, I will go. If not, then I'm just going to go and ask, okay, so I'm going to ask the question that Stephanie wrote. Can you explain how you will deal with volunteer burnout on the PDP? PDPs are the policy development processes. This is how we engage with policymaking at ICANN. We engage with PDPs. So this is a question that is addressed to all the candidates. If anyone wants to go ahead and ask.
I just wanted to clarify the first part. How will I deal with? I didn't get the first part of the question.
Volunteer burnout. So this is Stephanie's question. We have the problem in our group that although we have a very large member base, not many people volunteer for policy development processes, and so we cannot be as effective as we want. So one person does multiple things in various groups, and because this is voluntarily as well, it leads to exhaustion, and they will end up hating NCUC and leave. No,
yeah,
doesn't matter.
If I may just chip in on that, I think it really points to how active the community is within a mailing list, and I think one of my core focuses or issues of concern is, you know, right now for me anyway, that I am feeling, you know, a bit left out in terms of the robustness and the commitment and the activity within the Africa list on NCUC. So I think it really starts with having an active community, because you can't now expect people to comment on policy when throughout the year nothing has been done. So I think though, and Bruna even mentioned that in LAC they've got monthly meetings where they, you know, they normally communicate. And I think it starts there, you know, communicating regularly, talking about these issues broadly, not waiting for a policy to be out there to comment. So I think for me, it really would take a high level of commitment in terms of the enrich sort of aspect within the different regions. Therefore, when it is time to comment on a policy, people are already there because the momentum has already been built, if that makes sense.
Yes, that makes sense. Thank you very much. And anyone else? I think Elsa would like to also answer this question. She just told me in private chat. Elsa, go ahead and address this question, and then we will go to Michael. Go ahead, Elsa.
Thank you, Farzi. Also, for the record, so I think basically we have the foundation in terms of the mission and the bylaws and the fact that we're multi-stakeholderism, we're committed to multi-stakeholderism. And I also think that us as EC members, putting our names up there to become EC members, we come in with a lot of commitments, boundaries basically, and responsibilities, as well as based on merit. And I think one of the major things we should keep in mind when it comes to burnout is that we have a solid plan from the very, very start. Renata said something that I quote, and she said, nothing is done alone. And I completely agree with that. It's really important that we set a solid strategy from the very, very start, whereby everyone knows what their role is, how they should be super transparent, but also keep in mind the other person and the team as a whole, because eventually we all know how much of a time constraint we have, given we have jobs aside from ICANN, like generally speaking. And I also think like there's this small point that I added to my SOI, and it's about like mapping out the history of current members that are in there in order to have skill mapping, kind of, and that would increase the practicality of our work going forward as a team. So it's a bit of a high-end thing, but at the same time, I feel that this can make it much easier for all of us as a team, if I get voted into the EC, obviously, to kind of take some of the weight off the chair as representatives of our own region and as working across regionally, given the distinctions of the region. So I just wanted to add that little comment. Thank you, Farzi.
Thank you, Elsa. And I can see... okay, so I can see Michael's hand is up. Michael, tell us a little bit about why you want to run for the NCCC North America. And just briefly, and also you could also address Stephanie's question on volunteers burnout and how you are going to fix that, if it's at all fixable.
Hi. Thanks for that. Sorry I was a little late today. But I will note that my opponent abstain hasn't even shown up. So I mean, think of that over them. In terms of the, I'm just going to go straight to Stephanie's question because I noticed that we're very short on time. The working groups are a good opportunity to engage and to bring members in. And I think it's a little bit of a shame that they're not more utilized or that there's challenges bringing people into them, because I think it really is one of the great opportunities to get people involved. If you want to bring new members into the NCUC, you know, you can sit people down and give them a 4 or 5 hour explanation of everything that we do and how everything works that I can't, and you know, their head's going to spin and it's going to be very confusing. The best way I think to bring people in is this learning by doing thing. Bring people in and give them a very targeted thing to focus on, and they can sort of experience ICANN and understand how the different processes work. And the challenge with these working groups is they can drag on for long periods of time, and they can, especially when the process diffuses out through lots of different sub-working groups, it can be an enormous time suck. So I think that one of the things that we should be looking into is trying to find specific funding for engagement on different working groups. And this wouldn't be something that would be done through ICANN. But if you look through independent foundations, which is something that I've started to look into a little bit, the idea of getting kind of mentorship funding types of things where you promise specific deliverable in terms of engagement related to ICANN and try to develop that as a specific project-based thing. This isn't something that's specifically the role of the NCUC. It's not at all. It's not really the role of the NCUC, but it is an area of engagement that I think needs to be explored more. I'll cut it off now because I see we only have 5 minutes left. But I'm happy to follow up if people have more questions.
Thank you very much, Michael. I can see a question to Yolanda by Wisdom. So Yolanda, this question is for you. Can you tell us how open, transparent, accountable, and tolerant can you be dealing with members? Yolanda, please take the mic.
I don't think I follow the question really. In relation to what? If I could get a little bit of explanation. But
so it is related to your NCUCEC function. How tolerant and transparent and accountable are you going to be, and open? So I think it's a matter of how you are going to communicate with your with the members. How responsive you are going to be, and I think matters as such, if I'm not wrong. It's Wisdom's question. Go ahead.
Yeah. So just to answer the question briefly, I think regular updates would be very important in terms of reporting back what the EC has spoken about in a particular meeting and being very open about that. And I think in terms of tolerance of ideas and perspective, first of all, Africa is so diverse. And to think that, you know, people will have the same view and opinion on one thing would be very incorrect. And I think for me, I think the most important thing would be very tolerant in upholding diversity. And accountability is also a matter of if there are irregular conversations and updates happening, I feel the members will always have the will always hold me accountable to what I say. So in this situation, for me, the key things would be regular updates, regular communications with the team, and also these webinars that I was that I really liked, which was started recently. Those would need to continue, and also members saying, "You said this last week. Where are we now?" So I believe that being a leader does not mean that everything is on your shoulders. I believe it's a team effort. I believe it's collective, and we should all call each other out when things are not being done. And I think that's the most simplest way I can answer this in less than 5 minutes.
Thank you very much, Yolanda. And we have Milton, hand is up. Milton, take the mic.
Yes, hello. So I hear a lot of talk here about getting more people involved and moving more people around, but what is it that you want to do with these people? It seems to me that there is not a lot of focus on the actual policy development process. And I was shocked, for example, to be reviewing ICANN's progress on a couple of key policy issues, and in both of the working groups I studied, there was not a single NCUC person present at the meetings. There were no comments on the policy documents. Do all of you understand that that's actually what the purpose of NCUC is, that we're supposed to be shaping and making policies?
So thank you, Milton. If anyone wants to answer that question, they can raise their hand. So the question is, do you have a full understanding of NCUC mission and what we are supposed to do? And also, I'd say an understanding of our values and what we stand up for. I just added to Milton's question, but it would be grateful if I could get an answer as well. Renata's hand is up. Renata, please.
Hi, Renata here. Yes, I'll take the bullet going first in this answer. And I do make no mystery of being two years at most at NCC. So I guess what makes this question so important, I think, and the discussion also going on in the chat about joining working groups and participating actively, learning by doing, is that indeed, as our card says, and all the executive committee candidates, if you win the election, you have your generic business card with NCC values such as freedom of expression, transparency, and Milton also registered here some of the hot topics now in policy. We need not only, I think, to have NCC values in mind, but to educate our members on it. And freedom of expression, for instance, in its relation to geo names, is something that is not at all transparent to members. And the issues are multifaceted. So I think we need to understand that talking about these values can bring in several points of view, but we need to have these conversations to have people participating on the policy process, as well as that Stephanie joining in and adventuring yourself. I had an involvement in recently in work stream to diversity, and yeah, sometimes it's boring work. It takes ages to see the report finalized. Sometimes you want very straightforward answers to very complex but very important questions like diversity, but they're not overnight debates. It's about really getting all actors to dialogue. To me, it was a huge challenge to dialogue with some of the more technical actors in ICANN. And yet we move forward. I think yet we can make it work if we keep our values in mind, that ICANN is basically to discuss internet policy, to create internet policy related to DNS, and have NCUC values as a society in mind. So this would be my comment about that. So I agree that we need to learn more about these values and working groups, engage more, and continuously learning by doing, by participating in the working group.
Thank you, Renata. We are actually over time, so I'm going to allow David to also make his comment on this. David, go ahead.
I just want to say this, but I've been a long-term active participant in policy working groups and continue to be, and all of these questions should really be about that. When we say outreach, we mean getting more people who will eventually become involved in policy processes. When we say inreach, we mean tasting members and making it more possible for them to get involved in policy processes. When we say reactivating members, we mean getting them interested in policy. It's great to have people that we're willing to support and generally get the organization moving along, but ultimately that has got to be our mission, is to actively participate in policy processes. And all of these questions about NCEC are about ultimately, if we're not supporting and policy work and getting more people involved, then we are missing the point. So thank you for your question, Milton.
Okay, if there are no other answers from the other candidates, and if no remaining questions, we've had a good 2-hour meet the candidate session. Thank you very much. It was very good. If there's no other comments, we can adjourn the meeting. Thanks, everyone, and good luck with the election.
Thank you, everyone, for attending the call. Joseph, you may stop the recording and disconnect all lines. Thank you for your time today. Goodbye.